Peter Whiteman, Reel 4. You were just telling me about any recollections of incidents.
Yes, I'm just trying to put it into perspective. What I remember about career is the what a bleak, barren, awful place it was. And the oppressive heat in the summer, the extreme cold in the winter, and apart from having all the, we had marvellous clothing, we had all the American clothing and string vests and parkas, and I used to wrap newspapers round my boots in the winter to keep out the cold, particularly when I had to get out sort of early hours of the morning to operate the radio. And I remember that in the winter also we used to get rum issue. And oh, how lovely and warming it was that it used to go down there. I remember thinking, well, I must be due for Tokyo leave shortly. I must be due for Tokyo leave shortly. Well, surely I'm going to get put into one of the leave camps that they had behind the lines in Korea. And I found out after we'd pulled out of Korea that I was a week away from getting Tokyo leave. And I never did get to Tokyo, which is probably just as well. I remember also going into reserve, and we were allowed to take our rifles with us. And we were allowed to hunt if there was any game to hunt. And on one particular occasion, we were in reserve, and the Australians were in reserve at the same time. And they must have got a better beer ration than we did, because they were well and truly tanked up. And they weren't interested in hunting the animals. They thought it was much better fun to actually fire at us. I do remember that...
this was the Aussies?
This was the Australian. But if I remember rightly, whoever was in charge of our hunting party decided that we wouldn't take up the friendly fire and pulled us out. Korea, we were there for a year, I think almost a year. And whilst I wouldn't have missed it, it really was a bleak and seemed quite sort of nonsensical type position to be in. And it's ironic that the South Koreans today, although they had that demilitarized zone, they don't celebrate the end of the war, because to them the war is still on.
What did you mean by the pointlessness of the position? What did you mean when you said it was a pointless position?
It just seemed as though, whilst it wasn't quite as futile as Vietnam, it did seem as though it was wasted war. And that it was what I call a no-win position. I don't quite know how to explain it, but my inner feelings say that if it had gone and say that we had advanced even further into Korea, it could have developed into quite a showdown with China.
Were there any casualties in your support company?
May well have been, but in our particular section, as far as I know, apart from maybe minor injuries or something like that, there were no actually wounded casualties. But I'm sure there were in other sections of the support company where there could well have been wounded and fatalities. I can't remember the figures offhand, but the Royal Norfolk Regiment lost quite a few people during the Korean campaign.
Did you ever see or take any enemy prisoners?
No. I didn't get involved in that. But I do know that the Royal Norfolks were involved in one particular patrol where one or two of them, I think, got slightly out of position and actually got taken prisoner by the Korean and Chinese. And I think it's been well documented. And there was quite a skirmish going on. And the field artillery called in and put down a barrage. And whilst this barrage was going on, the Royal Norfolks, who were prisoners, managed to escape and get back to their particular line.
Did you see any of that?
No, I didn't see any of that personally.
What were the trenches like to live in?
Fairly adequate. I think I remember as my machine gun emplacement and feeling totally at home in there in my dugout. Our supply routes were good. The equipment that we had was first class.
Could you be comfortable in the trenches?
As comfortable as you could be. You didn't take your clothes off, particularly in the winter, and your shoes until you actually went behind the away from the front line. And I can remember going down the hill and into a reserve there, and be able to take your clothes off and have a shower. It was absolute heaven bliss.
Did you get lice? Lice? Did you get lice?
I don't remember the lice. I remember being terribly uncomfortable. But no, as far as I know, the army are pretty good at those sort of things, and there were all kinds of things that we were giving, powders and all the rest of it. And hygiene was something that was we were pretty good at anyhow.
Did you have rats in the trenches?
Can't remember the rats. I suspect they were there, particularly in the summer months. Just trying to think what. No, I can't remember seeing too many animals, actually. I think it was all so barren and lack of life on this particular position that we were in. If anybody wants to stay there.
Did you just stay on Hill 355 all the time, or did you move about?
I reckon I did. But no, when we were on 355, when we were in our position, I don't remember us being asked to move to another position at all. I do remember being able to come down behind the front line and spending some little time in reserve, for which we would have a little bit of relaxation and a chance to catch up on your hygiene and changing your clothing and that sort of thing. But no, the time we were in the line, I don't remember us being asked to change our positions.
What was your attitude towards the enemy? Was there any hatred of the enemy?
No, I can't say that I felt any hatred. I just felt that I was doing what I was told to do, and I didn't really have any particular hatred for the North Koreans at that time or the Chinese. I was just a squaddy doing as he was told.
Did you have any fellow feeling for them?
Not to a greater degree than I would have fellow feelings for other people. I think, no, I don't think I had any. I probably felt like they did, maybe they felt the same. They were just doing what they were told to do.
How did you come to leave Korea?
Yes, I can't. It's a little bit sketchy. We must have pulled out of the line, and it must have been a fairly rapid process because I don't remember too much about it. Next thing I remember, we were back in Hong Kong. So we must have gone from Busan by troop ship to Hong Kong fairly quickly, I would imagine. I can't sort of recall any time where I can say, oh, right, yes, I remember having a drink on board ship or anything like that.
How did you feel about leaving Korea?
Certain amount of relief.
Did you have any other active service in your army career?
Well, I'm sure what it was called, active service or not. But after we'd gone back for like 2.5 years in Hong Kong, after we pulled out of Korea, and then we went home to England for a quite extended leave. And we finished up at Rowan Way Camp at Colchester. And after my leave, I went on a course and to Borden. And anybody who's been to Borden is quite a sort of bleak place, and there's absolutely nothing to do there. So I settled down and worked quite hard for I think the course was about 4 nights or 3 weeks. And I came back to Royal Norfolk Regiment at Rowan Way Camp, and my results came through, and because there was nothing else to do, and I got an A+, which was supposed to be quite good, I believe, and the people above and they can seem to be quite pleased with that. So it did me a bit of good, actually. I became a very much brown shoes, no belt, no hat, constable sergeant in an office with a clerk, and the quartermaster's sort of blue-eyed boy. For my sins, they called me a technical sergeant. I'm not quite sure what that meant, but that's what they called me. And it was kind of towards the end of my 5 years, and I got married just before I came out of the army, but I had still to do 6 months, and the Royal Offer Regiment got called to Cyprus during the Cyprus troubles, and I thought I was going to get away with it because I just got married and was coming out. But no, they decided I'd got to go. And I remember that I had 72-hour pass for a honeymoon. And up we went to Liverpool and arrived in Cyprus, and there wasn't anything set up for a technical sergeant to do because we didn't have that kind of equipment. And I think the RSM had decided that he'd get his own back on the cushy old Sergeant Whiteman, and I found myself on patrol duties and battalion orderly sergeant fairly frequently. And we used to go out and do patrols with the Greek and the Turkish police. And I remember one particular night in Nicosia when we were on duty, and I had a Turkish sergeant and a Greek Cypriot driver, and it came over the radio that we immediately go to this particular hotel and the terrorists had blown up the hotel where the military police were stationed. And I said to the sergeant and to the driver, "Right, step on it, we've got to go there immediately, we've got to get there now, you know." And he must have taken me around about Nicosia about 3 or 4 times before he actually got to this hotel. And he obviously was not in a hurry to get there, and I remember I had to go into the police station and report what had happened. And he obviously didn't want to get into any trouble.
He was trying to avoid the danger.
To avoid, yeah, the danger of it.
What did you find when you got to the site of the explosion?
When we got to the I can't remember the name of the hotel now, but they've done extensive. They've blown it up, and there were some casualties. But our brief after that, once we got there, was too late anyhow. So we were sent back to the police station that we originated from, and I had to go in and report that the driver had deliberately not taken us straight to the scene. The other thing I remember about Cyprus is doing show of force parades and marching down the streets and the children on the rooftops stoning us. Nothing serious about it, but it just was a peculiar situation out there at the time. And having just got married, I couldn't wait for my 6 months to come up and get out of Cyprus.
What age were the children who were throwing the stones? What age were the children?
Oh, I would say maybe in some of them as young as 10, 11, 12.
How did the troops react to it?
I think we were told to just ignore it, and we just carried on marching. And as we went past the particular rooftop that they were standing us, we gradually came out of them. Out of their range. I can't honestly remember any other incidents that the law and order region were involved in.
Was that in Nicosia?
Yeah, it was in Nicosia, yes. And we were in two other places as well. I think one was San Augusta, and I think one was one just before we came home. It was up in the mountains in Kyrenia. And the other thing I remember about it was living under canvas continually. You know, we weren't in any particular barracks. We were, even in Nicosia, we were under canvas.
How did that work out?
Fairly well, because the climate was good anyhow.
Which years were you in Cyprus?
1956 would be 1956. The last 6 months of my service.
How much danger did you feel yourself to be in Cyprus?
Not a lot. I can honestly say, although I did quite a lot of patrol work, I can't remember, apart from the incident with the MP's hotel and being stoned, I can't think that I was in any danger at all.
How much good do you think these patrols did?
I'm not too sure of that. There was a lot of unrest out in Cyprus, and it's still there today, isn't it? Whilst it was a lot of it was underneath, I don't think it was as bad as, say, the Irish situation.
How would you conduct a patrol?
By Land Rover, and just sort of going around with a sergeant, a driver, and well, there was one or two of us. I was a sergeant, and I think I probably had one other fellow from the Royal Norfolk Regiment with me as well. And basically, just sort of. We were given a set area of Nicosia to patrol around for so many hours and then report back to the police station.
So you're just driving around?
Driving around, yes.
Did anybody attempt to throw anything into the...
No, not that I remember any of that, no.
Could they have done so?
Could have done. It might have been a bomb situation, you know. But the only one I was involved with was this hotel.
What did you think of the Cyprus police?
Pretty good, really. They had to be, whether they were Greek or Turkish, They had to be sort of non-political, I suppose, rather similar to the RUC, where they're Catholic and Protestant. But it's apparent from the way things are going all these years later that it's another one of these areas that's never going to be settled, I don't think.
Did you ever make friends with any Cypriots?
Not actually friendships, but made acquaintances. I remember having a distinct like for the Turkish coffee. And I found that most of the ones that I met and whilst I was out there very friendly.
Did you ever feel they were trying to get intelligence out of you?
No, that never happened to me, no.